Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Hey, welcome, everybody, back to another episode of Man on the Mic. This is a special episode today, a little bit different. I have three guests today. We're going to get into it, real conversations. We're going to joke, we're going to laugh, we're going to cry. We're going to call some people out. So before we get started, I'm going to start with my boy Ty, have him introduce himself, and we'll just go down the line real quick.
Hey, what's up? I'm Ty. You know, some of y'all might know me as Ty Buckets. Great to be here.
Hey, my name's Cash. Cash from Jackson, from Southern California.
My name is Silas Moore. I'm from the Bay Area.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for all joining me today. We're going to dive right into it. So all three of you at some point attended BYU Provo or BYU Idaho. I'm going to take an assumption all three of you are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So I kind of want to start with this angle. For each of you, and Silas, I'll start with you. What does it mean for you to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Man, for me, it just means being a disciple of Jesus Christ, just trying your best. When you mess up, you repent, and just keep treating people the way Jesus would want you to treat them, and just keep reading the Word so you know what the Lord wants you to do, and praying to the Lord every day, trying to get inspiration and revelation, and just trying to be a good person. Simple as that.
I love that. Love that. Ty, what does it mean for you?
Since I'm a little newer than everybody else, just staying true to the Word, true to the doctrine, following Christ, just like Silas said, being that shining light that the Lord needs sometime on the earth.
Okay. Cash?
Yeah, I agree with all my brothers. Biggest thing is being a disciple of Jesus Christ and remembering it's all about progression. I think people get too caught up in like the cultural part of it, is we're going to do all these things because we've always done it, but just remembering it's about getting closer to Jesus Christ, and those moments when we fall back, we get back up, we get closer to Him. That's the biggest piece for me about the gospel of Jesus Christ and just being a disciple, member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I love it. I think the big thing is just understanding we're all going to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. That's why we're here, to learn and to make those mistakes so that we can come better each day. I'm curious for you guys. For work, I'm able to travel, and I've been in some different communities in different states, and it seems like there's a different culture to the LDS group here in Utah. And for you guys that have moved to Utah and been a part of that, what has that been like to experience?
I'm not going to lie. I've heard about Utah Mormons. I didn't know it was a thing till I got over here. I'm not going to lie. Here's a funny thing. Like, one thing I started saying with my companion on my mission for me, in my opinion, when the people that I've seen, not everybody's like that. Not everyone in Utah is like that. But there's some people, they judging you where you at. And there's some people, one thing that I've seen in some people's family dynamic, the issue is they teach the kids about the commandments without teaching them about the love of God first. Hmm. So if the kid don't know about the love of God first, when they mess up, they're gonna be like petrified. Then they're gonna feel a type of way. They might feel judged, and then eventually they're gonna kind of put away their faith because they think it's too much. But when you started out with teaching your children about the love of God and who Jesus is and why He did everything that He did and why He paid for your sins, then when you mess up, you're like, okay, yeah, I mess up, but we're gonna keep moving forward, you know. And so some people who don't really get that, I mean, that's people everywhere. Everybody's different. But the people that I've seen that I would probably, you know, maybe coin like Utah Mormons who don't really get it. Yeah, I mean, those people exist. But like for me, you know, one thing I started saying as a joke, I was like, oh yeah, like those people, them some Mormons. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know. There's some Mormons over there, you know.
That's crazy.
But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, if that's a crucial part. If you don't build it on Jesus Christ, you miss the whole point. And that's when you lead to people do things without actually being happy, you know. Yeah. The people, they feel like, oh, I didn't really feel it because you wasn't really trying to connect with the Lord like that. You was going through the motion. You know, obviously you're not going to feel nothing if you don't really understand why you're doing it and who you're doing it for, you know? That's kind of my take on
it. That's big time. Cash, I got a question for you. One of the things in the Mormon culture and religion is they don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
Don't drink tea. They try to abstain from a lot of caffeine. Mm-hmm. But as we both know from the times we spend at the gym, what is the difference between a kid who says, I don't drink coffee, but chugs an energy drink or a Red Bull right before he goes to the gym?
Yeah. I think everyone has their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think the word of wisdom is super important. I think people have different relationships with that. I, in my own opinion, And what I've come to understand with Jesus Christ is it's an addiction part of it. If you can go and drink an energy drink and you're fine and you can go a day, 2 week, month and not do it, I think that's great. I think if you have to get up and you're like, I need to take my energy drink or I can't work out or you have to take multiple a day, I think that's where it changes. So same thing with coffee, tobacco, all those things. I think the biggest thing is, are you addicted to it? Do you need it? Are you going to rely on that more than you rely on the Savior, Jesus Christ? Rely on just waking up that day. If it's something you have to have, I think that's where the problem stems from.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Let's go a little bit deeper. What is the biggest food item that you are addicted to?
Ooh. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm going to be honest. It's sweets. Just in general, I don't know if it's a specific food item because I'm not a big soda drinker. I don't drink soda very often. Okay. I can't finish a can of soda, but my boy CJ out here posting about crumble cookies and they post the pies. I'm about to get a pie after a workout. I'm telling you, my family's big on like chocolate cake, cookies. I always have a pack of cookies. I went and bought one of those Ninja ice cream makers, telling myself I'm going to be super healthy because I want some ice cream when I want it. Problem is, when I need sweets, I'm not taking the time to make that ice cream. I'm going out and I'm buying something. So I'd say I don't have a single food, but I will buy sweets. And if I'm hungry, I'm buying multiple.
Okay.
So for me, it's just any kind of dessert, sugars, things like that.
Okay. Ty, am I the only one who thought he was going to say rice?
I thought some shrimp fried rice was going to be in there. So,
nah, dude. We do white rice, a little futikake, a little seaweed on there, baby.
And now to the people out here that know me and know how much I eat candy, you hear he said, If you can't go without it, I can go without it. Just to let y'all know
that. That's a lie right there.
Ooh, you better.
You cannot go without that candy. Hey, so much candy.
I almost dropped the bone now, brother.
So Ty, here's a question I want to ask you. You are new to Utah and to the Mormon religion. What is the most interesting thing that you've seen or experienced since moving to Utah?
Well, it's really two things that stand out for me is the food and it's the dating aspect. Man, because dating in Utah is crazy. They talk about polygamy, but hey, it's poly dating going on out here. And I ain't talking about no Polynesians. I'm talking about multiple people.
Explain that. Let's go a little deeper on that.
Man, look, I ain't gonna name drop, but they know who they are. It's been a couple times where, you know, I go on a date and the chick just got off of one date. She going on a date with me. You know, me, I'm a Southern gentleman. So I'm still cool with paying, but I'm still going to have that problem at the end of the day. But it's this one chick that I met and I know she go on like 4 or 5 different dates with different dudes a week.
Dang.
That's what I'm saying, brother.
Bro, you don't need coupons or anything. You just want free meals, baby. That's
funny. These dates, I want to know.
She ain't buying groceries.
Man, it's like an Oprah show, you know? Like, you get some, you get some, you get some. It's crazy. But, like, even though she said, like, nothing really be going on, literally, I know for a fact that she was making out with at least 2 of these dudes. So, it's like, I mean, it is what it is. That's what I'm really picky on who I choose a date and who I choose to like kiss. So, yeah.
So let's dive into that and the culture of dating. And then what is the ideal female in your life?
Well, if we're talking about physical aspects, you know, you can never go wrong with glasses, a big sweater and messy bun. Hint, hint, you know who you are. But nah, if she's true to herself, you know, she don't feel like she need other people to make her happy. That's the biggest thing for me and religion, of course. So, you know, she stay close to Jesus. That's all that matters to me. Whether she LDS or not really doesn't affect how I feel about a person.
Okay. Cash, what about for you?
Whew. I want someone that's athletic, someone that's going to make me better. I want her to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but someone that's open. Like, I grew up in a family where not all of us were LDS, part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or some of us didn't find religion in our family, or those who drifted. So I want someone that's going to be there and be a rock in the gospel, but also not judge those around. Like, my brother's gone through struggles. I want her to be there for him, knowing that he has a better path, but also like I still want her to love those around her. Yeah. That's going to be a huge piece in me finding my future wife is, yeah, you can be strong in the church, but it's not our place to judge. I want someone that's going to be independent and that's going to, like I said, just make me better.
Okay.
Man, I think number one for me is definitely like a woman of God, because that's really important. When it gets shaky, you know, and someone hold on to God, like that's everything for me. Second, I'll definitely have to say someone who's like a lifetime learner. I don't care if you're not good at this, that, and the other, because I'm not good at a lot of things either, but you know, we're gonna learn together.
Yeah.
And if you're open for that, that's perfect. You know, let's get it done. Someone who's kind, someone who's loving, and someone who treats people like the Savior would. That's beautiful to me. And then I think lastly, someone who's down for the cultures, you know, and trying to accept my cultures, because you know, I'm not just, you know, we grew up in America, that's America, cool, but like I'm also Persian and Tongan, so someone who wants to learn that and integrate that into the home, because me, I'm trying to teach my children that, because I think heritage and learning where you come from, it is such an important thing to have, especially today, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, and it's one of the things that I was just talking to my ex two nights ago, it's one of the things that we battled with social aspect of, I have my friend group and my social things. My problem was I was her only social aspect. I'm watching Super Bowl with the fellas, she wanted to be with me, and I'm like, this is a guy's night. I went out with a buddy, and the two of you know him. We went out to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. The entire drive to California, we were on the phone. And then during the football game, she wanted a play-by-play update. Dang. And I'm like, girl, you watching the game? I'm here in person. Let me enjoy it. And so that's my big thing is, you can have your time together and go on dates and have a great time, but also I need my time for me to work on myself, for me to connect with myself, spend time with my friends, go to the gym, go find your time, make friends and do all of that. And so if there's not that balance of a social aspect, for me, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
I think for you guys, you know, this is interesting, you know, being four minorities, is there, being here in Utah, do you find yourself feeling like, hey, I need to go date another minority? Or does that not matter to you guys?
It don't really matter to me, you know. I mean, I'm cool with dating somebody that's, you know, black. But, I mean, I'm also cool with, you know, Snow Bunny.
So, let me ask you that. Let's say you date a Snow Bunny or... a Caucasian girl from Utah who's only ever grown up in Utah, do you feel nervous or like she would be uncomfortable taking her back to the South and introducing her into that world and that culture?
So, interesting thing. So, when I meet a chick, I mean, I throw a couple racist jokes out there just to see, like, if she's open-minded. If she laughs, okay, we good. We can move forward. If she, like, awkwardly, like, moves after that, I'm like, you're not for me then.
What if she laughs too much?
Well, then I'm going to have to check her.
She's actually racist. She's like, yeah, actually, I was thinking about that. I agree.
Hey.
Where's my purse?
That's crazy.
She's like, I wonder if you thought it too, baby.
That is wild. Wait, Jim Crow still is in effect, y'all. Let's
Bro, he didn't argue with that either, though.
So, Cash, you are like a melting pot of Asian... Black. Is there some Polynesian?
No, dude. If you can guess it right in the first try, I will buy anyone dinner. But no one ever gets it. So my mom is from Japan. She's Japanese-American. So she's Italian-Irish, Japanese. And then my dad's just black. My dad thinks he has some Native American in him. I don't believe in it. But those are the three races I am, or four, that I have in me.
So how do you balance those very different cultures?
That's a deep question. Honestly... it can be hard. Like growing up, people expect you to be like, oh, he only eats like the racist, stereotypical jokes. He really likes fried chicken. He likes fish. He likes all these things. I don't like raw fish. I'm sorry. Going to sushi places, it's a struggle because people hate it. My mom's upset about it. I will eat rice with every meal. I'm okay with that. Can't do the raw chicken, do the raw seafood stuff, chicken, things like that. But culturally, it's super different. I don't know any other way, though. Like, those who grow up in Utah, like, are they going to do a difference if they grew up in California? I don't know culturally a difference between it. I know I love all the cultures that I have invested in, that I have inside of me, my bloodline, So I enjoy it. Couldn't tell you if it was different any other way.
See, we know which culture he, you know, has the most of. Because, you know, you saw how that chicken word slipped out like that.
I'm just saying I'm whatever I need to be at the moment. I'll tell you that right now, baby.
No, I like that. I think you do need to be, what is it, like a chameleon? And right. Adapt to the surroundings. And I mean, even look at Utah. You can be in Utah County, you drive up to Salt Lake. It's a whole different world up there. Then you drive down to Provo, and you can hang out with some of the summer sales bros. Mm-hmm. And then you drive 5 minutes, and you go with a bunch of the Polynesians and mix some kava, and it's a whole different conversation and feeling.
Yeah, and I would say, too, like, my culture doesn't fully define me either. I'm an individual person, and I love how my culture affects who I am, but also, like, I'm Cash. I'm the way I am, and that makes a huge difference for me.
I love that. So, guys, I want to kind of pivot the conversation a little bit and have a little bit of fun.
You can see his face.
Okay. Jeez. So, I guess my first question is going to be, they leave the glasses on. It's
going to be a good one. Oh, let me prepare my face, because if you ask any of my friends, I can't hide anything from my face. So my reactions are bad. So I'm going to try to prepare myself for these questions.
So, and I want you guys to be honest when I ask this question. What is the number one thing that annoys you about Utah culture?
Closed-mindedness.
Elaborate.
The heretic, for example.
Woo!
Yeah.
What's The Heretic for those who haven't had a chance to see it?
It's a movie about two sister missionaries that end up getting kidnapped. Tested based on their faith and their beliefs. And, you know, it's just like a statistic studies that the guy is running, but it's faith-based. But it's not only about, like, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He brings up many more religions. So it's a lot of people out there that's saying it's bashing, like, the church. But it's a lot of more people that's saying it's not really bashing. Does it show some stuff that probably not need to be shown? Yeah. But at the same time, though, it does talk about other religions, like, you know, being a Jew, for example, you know, evangelistic. So it's just like that closed-minded. If you just think one-sided, I'm cool on you. We can't be friends.
How does someone, let's say, who is closed-minded or who has been stuck in a bubble and not been able to experience other cultures or people or religions, how do they break out of that?
Just going on, like, adventures. Like with me, if you're friends with me, you know, it's no telling what we might do. You know, he knows, for example, you know, we might be chilling one moment, next moment we might be chilling with dudes, might be chilling with chicks, you know. And you know, like, yeah, just your willingness to, you know, be open to things, not just like, oh no, I'm good on that because of my parents.
Yeah, or even your friend group, because some people, they stay the same just because they want to be in their little clique that they've been friends with since the third grade, you know, like, that's cool. Keep your friends from, you know, who you came up with. But, like, I would say definitely try to make more friends, you know, and go travel the world. You know what I mean? I'm so blessed I came up in the Bay Area where we had people immigrating there, like, including my family, from all different kinds of countries and faiths, and you get to grow up going to school with these people and learn about their faiths, and you have respect for them, and it's cool, and learn about their cultures and heritage and jokes and this and the other, and it definitely shapes you as a person. And I think that's what, you know, that's what the beauty of what the United States could be, is when we come on, we all share it. But if everyone come over here and you want to drop your culture out the door and try to be like everybody else, and you know, what kind of soup are you going to have when all the ingredients try to be carrots? You know, it's not going to taste good.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep your flavor wherever you come from.
Get some spices.
Come share it. Like, yeah, that. It's going to be a good dish, you know. So traveling, too. Traveling, making friends from different places.
No, I love that. Cash, for you, what is your, I guess, number one thing that you dislike about Utah culture?
It kind of goes with Ty. I would say it's the closed-mindedness mixed with, for me, I always just called it, like, the ignorance of it. Like, if you grow up in a sheltered location, like, that's all you know. So the thing is, like, for me, I, like, yes, it bothers me. Like, people just haven't experienced things. They haven't met new people. They haven't seen how the world can be and is. But at the same time, I have to remind myself, like, they don't know better. So I get upset myself too by being mad about that. So it's like a weird dynamic. Like, I know they haven't received it. Like, I can reach out and show them, like, this is how the world is. Yeah. But some people honestly aren't ready for it. Mm-hmm. And I can't be upset about that. So that's on me. So culturally, why am I upset about them not understanding it?
Yeah.
Like, if I would have grown up in specific areas, like small towns, itty bitty towns, or just with certain parents, like, maybe I'd be like that.
Yeah.
But I know for me, it's just them not understanding it. But going on top of that, like what Ty said, is them not wanting to learn and to grow and to experience, which is great because a mission forces you to do it. But even then, I've seen people out there so close-minded, like, this is exactly how it's going to be. I'm like, it's going to be a rough life, brother. It's going to be a rough life. And teaching people, you're not going to relate to people.
No.
So in general, it goes with what Ty said, but I have to remember too, at my, like, think about it myself, like, I can't be upset because they don't know better.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, it goes to control what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't doing your part in sharing about your cultures, your values, where you come from, then people aren't going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we come across a lot of kids that just really haven't been places or seen things or willing to try different foods. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've tried a lot of different. I've eaten cat, I've eaten dog, I've eaten giant rat. But when I saw Ty with his jar of pig feet. As black as I may be, I will never, never scoop some pig feet out of a jar and eat it.
The crazy part is I served in Alabama, and you can find pig feet just canned jars at the Piggly Wiggly, so I don't know why you're so stressed.
See, that's what I'm saying. Kool-Aid pickles, pickled eggs, pig feet.
It's right next to the squirrel brains. You can get that too.
Piggly Wiggly. If you're from the South, you know what that is.
And if you need to find directions too, you're not getting a GPS. It's take a right at the big oak tree, take a left by Aunt Sam's.
I will stick with my Provo mushy rice, no seasoning, boiled chicken.
That's crazy.
You said boiled
chicken?
He said
unseasoned.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
He said he put herbs on that.
Since we're talking about food, you guys.
Oh, no.
Okay. One of the craziest dating experiences, I had a roommate who was dating a girl. I believe she was Haitian. And she wanted to cook him dinner.
Okay.
And so she put it in the crock pot.
Okay.
But she put the cord in the crock pot, then in the oven.
Wait.
At 400 degrees.
Oh, no.
Oh. And, yeah. And that was the end of the crock pot.
Probably. And
that was the end of that relationship.
Mm.
So in going to that memory, I think for the three of you, what is your craziest dating experience? Let's start with Cash.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
I don't date often, I'll tell you that. So my stories are real narrow, so hopefully this person never puts all the pieces together. I'll just put in very vague scenario. I just dated someone. We went on dates. We weren't dating. And they lived 3 to 4 hours away from me. And we met on Mutual, good old Mutual for Utah, so if you're culturally understand that. And they wanted to go on dates, and I was like, sure. And I was like, I'm not driving to Boise, though, because I don't really know you. They drove down.
Dang.
We went on a date or two.
They want some of that cash.
They went back. They came back. We went on a couple dates again. They wanted a DTR. I said, where are people going on dates? And, yeah, and they're like, so we're not dating. I said, no, ma'am. And they would not let it go. And there's more to the story. It was a weird scenario. Month later, I think she got married.
Dang.
Oh,
it was crazy too. And I had to help him because I worked for a retail store and I had to help him. And she was still so nice to me. And I was like, girl, you married. And 9 months later, they had a kid and still saw them.
Now, never mind. I'm not going to ask. The kid didn't look like you, did it?
Definitely not my kid.
Okay.
Definitely not my kid.
Sure. All right, Ty.
Man, the craziest one so far. So this is probably the beginning story of how me and Silas became friends. I was talking to this chick. You know, she go to UVU. She probably gonna watch this video, but I don't really care. She's a douchebag.
Oh,
dang!
Oh.
Yeah. I want you to know that I'm hurt behind that. And I will never forget that.
He's but still
hurt. That's so intense
vocabulary. Long story short, she's into black guys. And I didn't know that. So so she was making herself sound so genuine. I should have knew something wrong because she thought Texas was a southern state. But long story short, like we went on a little brisk walk, you know, talked about life, talked about, you know, some features, and turns out she made out and wanted to do a lot more than other people in Utah wants to do. And she thought that the black guys would offer that to her, but I didn't offer that to her. But I come to find out, like, one of the people that I was cool with dated her and was on the verge of crossing that bridge, and then I ended up spending time with them, meeting Silas. But that's really the craziest story. That's probably the craziest story that I had so far.
So,
well, here comes the question.
The glasses off.
That's wild.
I'm gonna put you on the spot right here and give you a challenge.
Challenge.
What would it take for you,
oh,
live on the podcast here, to forgive this girl?
Oh, for me to forgive her? Mm-hmm. I mean, she's forgiven, but is this, will I look at her the same? No. Would I be willing to do things with her? Nah. So it's like a broken bridge, kind of.
It's not forgotten.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's forgiven, but not forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, I use that as a staple if I'm, like, dating anybody. And, like, that's why anytime somebody says they're, like, from the South or from Texas, I always ask them, like, hey, you consider Texas a southern state? Which the correct answer is half of Texas is a southern state, not northern Texas. Southern Texas, please.
Southern half.
Like, give me, if you above Houston, mm-mm.
It's a soft topic, okay, for me.
But, yeah, you're forgiven. You know, I would name drop you, but I feel like you're gonna DM me anyway after you see this. So.
You better than this, brother. You better.
So, here's my challenge to you. Ooh. When we finish this podcast, I want you to send her a text, and all I want you to say is this. I'm sorry. I forgive you, and thank you for the lesson you taught me.
Thanks for putting me with my good friend over her.
You want me to say I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Brother, my dukes, you already know how I feel about them two. That phrase right there already. Uh-huh. I use my apology because, you know, as a man, I was taught and I was built up by my father and my pawpaw. A man should never be sorry, so therefore you should never say I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Just be apologetic. As long as you're apologetic, it means the world to people. If you're sincere about it. Mm-hmm. So, look, I do. Look, it's my apologies, but it's a life lesson. And I'm glad that you're the one that taught me that lesson.
But isn't that the way you two connected?
Facts. Like, if I never went through that, I would have never met my boy. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. We drunk kava together.
Yes, sir.
Been crazy.
He had that on speed, though.
That is wild.
What does the song teach you?
He probably has that song for me.
You know what? I should FaceTime and see if she
that would be gone. Crazy.
That's insane.
FaceTime on the podcast is crazy.
I accidentally called her before.
And she answered right away.
Chill out, bro. Chill out. Now you make me
not want to call it, bro.
You see how he did not know it.
Go ahead. FaceTime.
Huh?
Let's get this apology live on the air.
What? That's wild. I'll pray that you don't answer.
She's going to be like, what do you mean? Hang up.
This is going to be a rough one for me to watch because I'm all about the forgive but not forget. And you don't talk to exes. So I don't know if I got to watch a brother call her like that.
Truth on the roof, brother.
That's wild. I'll pray.
Oh, he's doing it.
That's crazy.
I give it three rings. That's two.
That's two. Oh, yeah. Is it?
No, she'll text me like I'm in class.
Yo. Well, hey, yo. So, look, I'm on this podcast right now. And I just want to say that. So, it was some stuff that hurt me, but I do forgive. And thank you for the life lesson. So, that's really everything I had to say, though. And Texas is not a southern state, by the way. All right, for sure. I'll talk to you later, though. I'll talk to you later.
You know.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Bro. The fact that she picked up, though.
I told you she was.
Because I told her that I would never talk to her again. So man. I thought she probably lost my number or something.
So the reason I'm playing this song and with this experience we went through is, why is it that truth hurts the most? Why is it that when we're honest and we're open with people, it hurts them worse than if we had just lied to them?
Because I feel like that comes from a sense of speculation. Because we kind of figure, we always assume how a person would feel based off like past experiences or past truths that we have told the person. Like for a person, example, for a person that's coming out the closet, that's, you know, that would be hard for them. It would be harder for them to tell the truth because they would assume that people wouldn't like them or they'll lose everybody. When, like, most times, in most cases, like, I give, like, a 7 out of 10, people still accept you.
It's true. What do you think?
I think people get upset, honestly, because, I mean, they expect better, and they have their own, maybe not better, sometimes it's better, but sometimes they have their own perception on an assumption of how things are supposed to go. So when reality doesn't meet that expectation, whether it's a circumstance or a person doing or saying something, then that's when they get upset, if that kind of makes sense.
One of the, of all the people in my life and that I've met in the past year, there's only one person who speaks complete truth and holds nothing back, doesn't sugarcoat a thing. That's my man Cashier. So I'm curious to see what his thought on this is.
Rephrase the question, was it?
So why is it that when you share the truth with people, it hurts worse than if you just lied to them?
Honestly, I say most people aren't ready for it. Like, I ask some of my friends, and, like, people know me. Like, I am pretty honest. But they know when to ask me for truth and when not to ask me. Like, if they're ready for the truth, like, things they want to change, they'll ask me. But when they're not ready, like, it hurts because you have to confront that truth. And also, like, some people just don't take it well. They don't take feedback well. Like, I work in a company where we have to consistently give coaching and feedback. But people have always learned that receiving truth, receiving feedback is something, like, attacks you. It's an ego. It's a personality. Like, you're not good enough. But really, it's just, hey, I was hurt by this. And some people will, like, get offended. Hey, I was hurt by this. That's the truth. How can we be better? And I think it's just that they have to confront the truth, which makes it so much harder.
No, I love that. No, thank you guys. I think it's something, and I think it's needed. I think you look at a relationship with a female, you look at a relationship with your friends. If your friends can't be truthful with you, I don't consider those your friends. Yep. If the girl you're dating can't be truthful with you, I don't think it's a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Because if you have people that will call you out when you are making mistakes or slipping up or say something offensive, then that means they actually care about you and they want you to be better. Mm-hmm. I was reading a study the other day, and it said one of the top qualities that a girl looks for in a guy is confidence. What do you guys think about that?
Well, if you look for confidence, baby, you know, looking in the right place. All right, let me chill out. But nah, confidence is a huge thing, though. That's why, like, that's something else I take consideration when picking friends. Like me and Silas, for example, we can go out and be ourselves, and we can be confident because we're confident in our bodies and confident with our personalities. Now, if it's somebody that don't like our personality, we can always tell them kick rocks like we always do. So
let me ask both of you then, what is the difference between being confident and being cocky?
Oh, see, we can use basketball terms in that.
Ooh.
So, like,
okay, Ty okay. Buckets,
Mr. Being, Hooper over here.
Being confident is KD for sure. Now, being cocky is Anthony Edwards for sure.
Dang.
So, like, clip that. I mean, cockiness can take you to a realm of, like, unbelief.
Yeah.
Or like, just like Lucifer. He was cocky with it. That was his demise.
Man with a plan, baby.
Yeah, see? And I mean, like confidence, you know, Jesus had confidence. Jesus had confidence, but he wasn't cocky about it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't being like, you know, what you mean? You ain't got nothing to drink? Let me turn this water to wine for you. Let me show you a couple things. No, he was chill. He was the chill guy. So yeah.
Okay.
I think difference is confidence, you still have room to grow. You know, cocky, you think you hit everything, you done, you check all the boxes, you know. It's like a tree. Cocky tree, you know, it get up here, it's like, all right, I'm done growing. Confidence tree is like, I'm good with what I have. I know what I have. I'm happy with it, but there's still place to grow. And so, and that's just my opinion on the matter.
Okay.
I agree too. I think like my job, things I've done in general, like confidence is knowing that you can do the job, but being cocky, like you don't accept anyone else's feedback. You don't accept anyone else's idea. Being confident is I know what I'm doing the job, but you tell me what your ideas are. You tell me how I can apply it. I can take feedback from Jesus Christ when I pray, when I receive these trials, these hardships. Like, I'm confident I can get through this. Cocky is, oh, you can throw anything you want at me. I can do anything, but also, like, I don't need your advice. I don't need your help. I don't need the Savior there with me. I don't need my friends give me advice. Like, I don't need anything. That's cockiness to me.
I like that. I think, you know, going back to basketball examples, you know, I think sometimes we start off confident in ourselves, and then we end up becoming cocky. And we have to pull ourselves back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at Cash was guarding me last night, and I was confident because I kept scoring. Barbecue chicken the first game.
It's true.
And then I shot an air ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I got to come back to reality real quick because we find ourselves getting to a spot where we're comfortable, but we're not uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we got to pull ourselves back every time. And that was me last night. I thought, I can't air ball again. And you start feeling yourself too much. And I think that's what life is about. I think that's what we experience every day and all the things that we do. And I think the big thing, and I've learned this the past year, is if we stay somewhere where we're comfortable, we'll never grow. Mm-hmm. But if we're willing to be comfortable being uncomfortable, that's where the most growth happens. And so I'm curious for you guys, and we're getting towards the end of the year, what is the biggest thing for you that has made you uncomfortable this year, but you've benefited from it?
Oh, I mean, pretty sure everybody gonna know what I'm about to say, but you know, becoming LDS, you know, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I mean, it taught me, because I never knew how much hateful feedback I could get, but I got a lot of negative feedback from it, from like the first video I dropped till like. Like, literally a day after my baptism, I got hate texts and stuff. So, I mean, I'll say joining the church is my biggest thing.
I think, before we go to Cash, I think that reminds me of, I think it was Joseph Fielding Smith said this. He said, the nearer a man or a woman comes to God, the greater power made manifest by the adversary to prevent the accomplishments of that person. Ooh. So the closer we get to God, that's when the devil starts working.
You know what? I got an even better one, though. Okay. If you know me, you know where I'm finna go with this. So, we all know Paul, but before Paul, he was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So, even when Saul had first converted, like, the Christians, they persecuted him because he was the one that was, you know, killing them and just, like, doing bad things. So, like, that goes hand in hand with what you said, and that's why I always relate, like, converts to, like, Saul. And, you know, it's true. The closer you get to Christ, the more hardships and battles you face.
And I think Paul also can teach us what you talked about at the beginning of the podcast as being when you're close-minded. Because Paul, he talks about to the Jews, I became a Jew. To the weak, I became a weak. Whenever he taught in a city, he would reference the poets in that city. Why? Because he understood the people in those cities would relate to that, and they respected those poets. And how do they want to reach their hearts? He's not going to step into someone's city and force them to listen to everything he has to say. He's going to use their own poets and their own senators and whoever it was, their words, because he knew the people would listen and that would pique their interest, and now he had their attention. And so I think Paul is a great example, especially for people in Utah County, in Utah culture. Look at his life. Look where he started. Look where he ended up. But look at his teachings, because there's so many different lessons you can take if you're willing just to read and to understand. Cash, for you, I think, what's the biggest thing this past year that has made you uncomfortable, but it has shaped your life or helped benefit your life?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest struggles I have, I get super comfortable in where I'm at. I'm confident where I'm at. Like, I like my job. Got a church calling. It's a church calling I've had before. I like my lifestyle in general. So I got released. So I decided, taking a new job, which has been recent. And I was good at my job. Like, I was known for being good at my job. And so I recently took like a regional position for my company. And it's kind of crazy. Like, when you go from something you're good at every day and you can just walk in, you can leave early, you can do all these things and everyone knows you're good at it, to a position like you have to impress people around you. You have to teach and train. You have all these things that people are looking down on you. You go from being the top dog to like, you're still the top dog, but everyone wants to know if you're going to make a big difference around. And so I think that was a big change for me. Going along at the same time, like, I got a new calling at church. I decided to go on a trip with, I know one of my buddies from church and then a guy I kind of know. And I was like, I decided to go to Greece for 14 days with them. So I did all this transition within probably a month of each other. But I hit a point in my life where I said, I'm too content where I was in life. So I need to upgrade my career. I need to be open to church callings. I need to be more open to traveling, seeing the world, seeing God's creations. And so that's something I've been trying to do, meet new people. Like, I've met a lot of new people, and I'm more of a social homebody. Like, I want to stay at home, watch a movie, chill, go hot tubbing. But I'm like,
friendly cuddle.
I've never said that. But I need to get up and go do things. So I think pushing myself to be uncomfortable has been a big thing for me in the last month. And I'd say probably my career choices has been a big change for me.
Love that.
Yeah, mine's a little different. This year was the year I moved to Utah. And so I grew up with grandma's cooking. So I'm not glad. I didn't know how to cook when I came out here.
You said top ramen? Top ramen for the win. Put some eggs inside.
It was top ramen. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I was like, this not healthy. I can't be having top ramen every night. Can't be having chicken nuggets every night. You know, McDonald's chicken nuggets. They're really good. They're really good. So I was like, let me start cooking for myself. And so, you know, I go to the store, just get a couple ingredients, mess up a couple steaks, you know, mess up a couple dishes, and then eventually, you know, I don't know. I think we're pretty okay. I'm on my way. What you think?
You're on your way. Hey, if you see some of the stuff me and this boy cook up, man, it's crazy.
Not one invite. Crazy. Not one invite.
I mean, it should be like 2 in the morning.
I'm in bed.
Exactly.
Is that before you go to the gym?
Sometimes I can't sleep. 3 a.m.
Fighting demons, baby. Demons.
I be deep in thought sometimes, bro.
Get ready for that Thanksgiving feast.
Hey,
he said,
you gotta
big feet for days, yes, baby. Her. Hog ham.
Dang. Yeah, I got
black eyed peas.
Ham hocks.
Dang, I know chitlins out here in Utah.
Got J Dogs.
That ain't
bro, chillin' some J Dogs or
not. Glizzy's for days.
Nah. See, I ain't no GG, I ain't no Glizzy Gobbler. So, you know.
Bro, I'm all about that crawfish etouffee from the South. I'm more Louisiana kind of guy.
See, come on. He knows, bro. He knows.
He don't know that. He know dumplings.
I served in Alabama. The apostles, man. They were like, this guy speaks. We'll make him speak Spanish, go to Alabama, because they could not figure out my ethnicity. Lord knew. They didn't know.
They're like, this Simone brother going over there.
Don't he look like a Sione?
Bro.
Like, Sione. Taki-taki. You look like Sione.
Hey.
Taki-taki, bro.
He's like, I just came from drinking kava.
Smoke out mix.
Bro, I'm going to be honest. In high school growing up, I would play basketball at different schools. And there's a whole Polynesian ward where I grew up.
Dang.
And in Moval, everyone in our hometown, everyone thought I was the small Polynesian. So I've never been in a fight, like never thrown hands. But I could talk a lot of crap because everyone knew I was the small Polynesian and my brothers would fight for me. Not a lick of Polynesian, but they love me.
Since when do you talk crap? I have never seen you.
This is the pre.
Usually he's the peacemaker.
Hey, he's a pre-mission.
Listen. The calmest person is the person you want no problems with.
Hey, just don't scream at Cash. That's all I know.
Hey.
Yeah. I don't like to be disrespected. I'll tell you that right now. I have my boundaries, my standards. You can ask my family. They all know it.
That's fair. I think we all have them. I think everyone here in this room, when they play basketball, become a whole different person.
Why are you staring at me like that, brother? Brother, when I'm on the court, I could be the calmest person, but I can also be that douchebag.
Oh, we know. We know. You go from Kenneth Faried to Pat Bev.
Hey, man.
Bro, and if you start feeding him lies, be like, hey, this guy said this about you.
Hey.
I'm getting
bro, that straight, was shady. Hey, that straight 3 points.
I got a confession to make.
Confession time. You never told him.
So we're playing basketball.
This is crazy.
Okay. And there's this white dude who was hooping decently. And we're sitting. And right before the game started, I said, hey, yo, Ty. Hey, that kid says you suck at basketball. You're worse than him.
Mind you, he told me he was going to say this before it happened. I said, don't do that to the brother.
No.
Don't do that to the brother.
Todd didn't say a word. He just stood up and started cooking. He got knocked over. Don't help me up. Jump up.
Bruh, because I think that's the day I dunked on. Oh.
You did.
That's the day I caught that body.
Yeah, I thought he was going to hit him. I was like, bro, we're going to let this kid die.
But you know what's crazy, right? The position before he dunked, I gave him the best pass.
Facts.
Right at the rim. And my dude said, I didn't think you were going to get it there, Jeff. I didn't.
Well, the funny thing is, I think you told the kid what you said. And he was like, I never said that, but we never told Ty.
No, we didn't tell Ty.
We told the kid what was said.
That poor white kid.
And he was nervous.
Oh, he was just that
he was nervous. He said, I never said that. I said, you're not getting out of the hole.
Hey, public apology. My bad, brother. The brother that I dunked on, my bad that you got some of that action because I want the dunk on him. But
who was it?
I don't remember who was. I feel like he never came back.
I don't know. Next time we hoop, Ty going to find a banana next to his shoes. And I'm gonna pour whoever's guarding him. Was that one?
That's crazy.
That kid never.
That's crazy.
Back.
I'm just a spectator.
He hung bro, up.
I ain't gonna lie.
He's not hooping.
Because no after I punched it, the dude, he literally told me, he's like, "Bro, I don't think I seen you dunk on nobody." I was like, "Yeah, because don't nobody piss me off."
And he had no idea what was going on.
I know, but no, because me, Cash, and Tyson. After I told you, we all looked at each other.
Yeah, we all looked.
That was wild.
We all said it before, and I was like, he did.
So wait. When I dunked on the kid, what was y'all thought?
We all looked at each other.
I said, this is a dumb, I shouldn't have done that. This was a dumb idea.
I had to, as the peacemaker, I just had to make sure you didn't swing on the kid.
Bro, because literally after I dunked on him, I was like, bro, my bad. I was like, I really wanted that other guy. And I pointed directly at the dude.
They know who
he did,
told
bro.
Me.
He knew too. He
yeah,
knew.
Bro.
This kid was like, "What happened?"
Right there too. Bro.
I watched it. I was like,
"They're not hooping no more." They
he's
do,
probably this.
They
kid
do fly fishing now. That's rock climbing,
bro. He out here. He out here bowling.
Crazy.
He's bowling. He bought the bowling shoes, baby. He said, "I know Ty won't bowl."
Just pick bro, up.
Little does he know. I get out there too.
If you want some of them runs, hit us up. Come get that work. So, gentlemen, we've talked about a lot of stuff. I want to bring this all to a head. One of the things that I always ask people, and I started this on the last two podcasts, and we got a little bit of time, so I'll make this quick. I'm going to open up the floor and take a break from asking the questions and allow you guys to ask me a question that can be anything in the world. I tell people nothing's off limits. We let it roll. So Tyler, let's start with you.
He look ready.
So, my dear brother, how do you think about the seductive side of the culture, you know? Because there's ways that you can be, like women can be seductive in the church, actually. And I don't think people talk about this enough. So
we're talking about back scratches or what you talking about?
Don't back scratches, back rubs.
I don't like back
massages
back
and stuff.
I think for me it's simple. Is in any relationship, on any date, you need to set the expectations. Because if you don't set the expectations, then what standards are there? And if she's being seductive or wants to take it further than you are, you've said nothing to stop her from doing so. It's like one of my rules we can watch TV in the living room, in the other living room, but we ain't watching TV in my room because I know that's where mistakes can happen. And so I have boundaries and safety nets. In fact, my ex, there was a night and there was a snowstorm coming. And I said, we can do dinner and then you driving home. She lived up in Salt Lake. But in her mind, she's like, well, if it's snowing, I could just sleep at your house. And I said, you could, but nothing good's going to happen. And so for me, it's about setting honest expectations. And if they don't value and respect those expectations or those boundaries, then that's not someone that you should be hanging out with. And so clear, open communication has to happen. And you can be sitting in church and she can be scratching your back. That's fine. But anything past that, you have to understand, are you okay with that? And if you are, okay. If you're not, speak up. If you're too afraid in someone you're in a relationship with or on a date with to speak openly, then why are you out with that person? Mm. You should easily be able to have a conversation. And if she can't respect you being open, bye. On to the next. We happen to live in a community and a culture where there are plenty of fish. So if that tuna ain't working, there's a salmon down. And for some people, there's a whale and a shark. It's whatever your preference may be.
I don't know about no whale, brother. I'm more of a smaller fish type of brother.
What's wrong with Shamu, baby?
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with Shamu?
I mean, brother, you
free will.
You know,
free will. Free will.
Look, brother, we know you had your fair share.
Hey, we don't gotta go there.
His Titanic still flowing. He good. Yeah.
I'm dead.
I'm on the little Moana canoe.
Go ahead. Any question in the world?
Okay, I had a great discussion, or maybe we need a podcast about it one day. I was talking to someone about becoming who they are. How do you, let me try to figure out how I'm going to phrase this. How do you continue to grow from what you want to be, but differentiate it from what people want you to be, if that makes sense? Because pressure-wise in Utah, they want you to be a specific thing.
So here's what I'd say for you to make this short, and this is something that we could talk about forever, yeah. But let's say I want to bake brownies.
Okay.
I'm going to find someone with the best brownie recipe, mm-hmm. and I'm going to take that recipe, I'm going to follow it line for line. Mm-hmm. I could deviate, and if it doesn't taste the same or look the same, that's on me.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who are at the level where we want to be. Mm-hmm. They're where we want to achieve, and they have the recipe because they've made it.
Yeah.
So once you find that person, you find that recipe, why change it? Mm-hmm. I just dive in and I say, okay, just give it to me, and I follow it step by step so I can get to their level.
Yeah.
And so for anyone out there, if you have a goal or somewhere you want to obtain or someone you want to become or you want to be like, reach out to them, follow yeah. them. I had a podcast with an influencer a few weeks ago, and I said, well, which influencers do you look up to? And he listed these off, and I said, how many of them have you reached out to and been like, hey, I want you to mentor me. Mm-hmm. I want you to teach me what you're doing. I'm like, if you look up to them, but you never reach out for any advice or for the recipe, what's the point? You can look at their TikToks for days,
yeah.
but I want that one-on-one access where they can look at me and be like, here's what I did. Here's the journey I went through. Yeah. And I hate to say it, but for some people, there's a skin in the game that you have to put in. So it may cost you to get this and get access to it. And that's where I've hired, you know, I have coaches and therapists and everything. It's not cheap, but if I want to get to where I want to be yeah. and not where society wants me to be, then guess what? I have to invest into myself. And when you invest in yourself, the return can be amazing. Yeah. I'm not saying you pay a coach and you sit back and it does all the work. You have to do the work yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to invest in yourself, then do the work, then you're never going to get there. But that's the short version I would say is find the recipe, follow the recipe, and see the beautiful creation it makes.
No, I love that. I think that helps the discussion a ton, especially like we have one in Jesus Christ as well. Mm-hmm. I think people are so busy window shopping. Like you said, find the recipe, follow it. People can window shop, look at the recipe. They can see the bag they want. They can see the life they want, but they sit there and go, okay, I'll just swipe to the next one. Maybe I'll just find a different life. But people just need it, like you said, just execute it. We have Jesus Christ. We've got people in our lives that we can just grow and learn from.
It's simple.
Man. I was wondering, based on a mistake you might have made in the last 10 years, what's some advice you give to yourself, your younger self?
Be willing to forgive yourself. So many times we make mistakes and we beat ourselves up for it. We lose sleep over it. We don't eat over it. And we keep going back and we keep just beating ourselves up. And then we have to realize that Jesus came and suffered and died for us. Mm. He's experienced everything that we're going to go through. He's gone through already. And so the part about repentance is also learning to forgive. Mm-hmm. Because until you can forgive your own self, you can't ask other people to forgive you. And so the biggest thing for me has learned is just to, and it's not easy, but you have to understand, okay, I made the mistake, A, B, accept it. Mm-hmm. Because if you keep trying to sweep it under a rug or act like it never happened, then it's still there. Mm-hmm. And then the third part is forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And it may take time. Not everyone can heal overnight or in a week or in a month. But gradually and slowly, as long as you forgive yourself and continue to work on yourself and what you're trying to accomplish, you can get past that.
Yeah.
But some of us just focus on the negative. I think on the second part of that, the biggest thing I've learned in working with my therapist and my coaches is a lot of people in our society would look at anger as a negative. You get angry, it's negative, it's bad. But what people have to realize is it's actually a positive because it's telling you something. If you're in a situation that gets angry, guess what? Now you know what triggers you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it that way and understanding, wait, I'm getting angry in this moment, not focusing on this is terrible, but why am I getting angry? Okay, whatever is getting angry is not what you need to work on or you need to remove or you need to be able to change in your life. And so it's a mind shift of looking at something that's, okay, this has always been seen as a negative. What's the positive side of it?
Mm.
And when you do that, it completely shifts the way that you look at life and the way that you look at things. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just, you know, it's little things like that that if we can tweak or we can look at differently in our lives, it changes the way that we see society and it changes the way that we behave. And so I just want to say thank you guys for coming on part one of the podcast.
Oh, part one, let's go, baby.
What would that sound like, a black Dr. Phil over there, man?
Hey. You are the father.
What a cameraman.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.